The presidential race is starting to get a bit ugly as both candidates fire attack ads at each other. This ad for John McCain uses images of Britney Spears and Paris Hilton to portray Barack Obama as a celebrity with more style than substance.
He's the biggest celebrity in the world. But is he ready to lead? With gas prices soaring, Barack Obama says no to offshore drilling and says he'll raise taxes on electricity. Higher taxes, more foreign oil. That's the real Obama.
Barack Obama has shot back with his own ads. We'll play a clip from one of them a bit later. Do attack ads work for you? If not, what would you like to see? Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org. You can also comment on our blog. It's at npr.org/blogofthenation. Joining us now from the studios at Vanderbilt University in Nashville, Tennessee, is John Geer. He is a professor of political science at Vanderbilt University. He's also the author of In Defense of Negativity, Attack Advertising in Presidential Campaigns. So good to have you with us, Professor Geer.
It's good to be here.
Now, what did you make of this McCain ad, which aims to draw a comparison between Obama and Paris Hilton and Britney Spears? Will people buy that?
Well, I suspect not. I mean, I don't think it's a very good ad. I mean, it's not, you know, incorrect or factually inaccurate per se, but it strikes me as a stretch. I mean, you start out with these comments about being a celebrity, not really having any substance, and then you move into a discussion about oil and Obama's views on that. It's not a very effective ad. And what it reminds me of a little bit, and I want to stress the word little, is the ad actually that was aired here in Tennessee, which used a blonde woman to try to attack Congressman Harold Ford in his bid for the Senate. I don't think it's any accident that Paris Hilton and Britney Spears were in this ad, two young blonde women.
Yeah. And what I was struck by when I looked at these ads was that they're almost sort of subliminal. In other words, if people haven't seen these ads, it's hard to explain, but the images of Spears and Hilton sort of flash by in between pictures of Barack Obama speaking before this massive crowd in Berlin. And I was, you know, if I don't know, you've analyzed these kinds of ads. What is the purpose of that kind of tactic? It almost felt like subliminally you were supposed to be associating Obama with these two young Hollywood, not even stars really anymore, but celebrities.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, failed stars in some sense, right, because of their own particular personal problems. I mean, I think it's an effort. The McCain campaign is struggling with a way to express their concerns about Barack Obama's experience and lack of substance. So they continue to struggle to find the right ad, the right message that will communicate this. And this is typical of candidates who are behind, because they're trying to find some issue, some wedge, or maybe catapult, if you will, that will allow them to get back into a more competitive standing. And this goes on all the time, and it's not unique in the sense of the strategy of it. The substance here, I think, is unique. And some people, maybe incorrectly or correctly, depending on your point of view, would even say there's a little bit of racial politics involved here, too.
Yeah. Now, earlier there was a McCain ad which implied that high gas prices were Barack Obama's fault. And the Obama campaign then ran an ad that challenges that. And it played a portion of the McCain ad in order to refute it. So let's listen to that ad and talk about that.
Have you seen John McCain's TV ad?
Who can you thank for rising prices at the pump?
John McCain is blaming Barack Obama for gas prices? The same old politics. Barack Obama thinks high gas prices deserve serious answers and a serious plan. Crack down on oil speculators, raise mileage standards, and fast-track alternative fuels.
Now, what's your analysis of that ad where he actually incorporated some of the McCain ad into his own campaign commercial?
Well, actually, that's a reasonably common tactic, at least over the last 20 years. The first person to do that at the presidential level was Michael Dukakis, who was very upset about some of the ads. The senior Bush was running in 88, and he then ran ads attacking the ads that were being aired against him. So that's common, and it's happened by, you know, other candidates as well at the presidential level. I don't think this ad is particularly inspired either,
mm-hmm.
But it's you know, it's just common to try to deal with this, to try to knock McCain off his game, because he's trying to be somebody who's above partisan politics, who's truly bipartisan, but yet he's firing off these attacks. And so the Obama people, maybe correctly, think that this will be an effective tactic. I just don't think the ad itself is all that, you know, unique or special.
Well, is there any danger in repeating your opponent's message, even if the point of repeating is to refute it?
Well, I mean, there is a potential risk there, but you're also labeling it as dirty politics, as negative, as nasty. And the public reacts to that. We have pretty clear evidence that if you tell people something's negative, they react a little differently to it. And so they're framing it in a way that they think will work, you know, for Obama. Again, it's very hard to figure out the effects of particular ads because of the mass of information that people are being exposed to in all different kinds of levels and mediums. And so we're not sure about the effects of specific ads. But this one here, you know, it's part of a general dialogue. And it's also part of a conversation that unfolds where, you know, McCain attacks Obama. Obama fires back. And it begins a discussion about who's really responsible for higher gas prices. Probably the answer is neither one of them. But but that's, you know, that the voters actually are savvy enough to figure out, probably.
We're talking about attack ads and whether or not they work with John Geer. He's a professor of political science at Vanderbilt University. Let's take a call from Steve. And also, if you'd like to join us, give us a call at 800-989-8255. We're going to go to Steve now, and he is in St. Louis, or he's in Missouri or Michigan. I'm not sure where you are, Steve. But go ahead.
But yeah, I very much agree with your guest. I think that when ads, you know, set aside some specific issue or message, that they can be very effective in terms of, you know, generating a reason to support a particular candidate. And, you know, I think that the Obama and McCain ads, the original ads about gas prices and so forth, regardless of, you know, kind of setting aside the factual, whether they were factual or not, they can be effective in that they have a particular message. But it seems like a lot of ads, they're not necessarily personal attack ads, but they get people so far away from a particular message that a candidate is supporting. You know, they're not really contrasting the candidates. They're just attacking one person and then leaving a big vacuum. And perhaps that could be effective as a political strategy, but if the candidate is really ultimately trying to support some set of policies, it may not be effective in the long term outside of the election in getting that policy through.
John Geer, what's your reaction to that?
Well, a couple of very sound observations there. I mean, first of all, the negative ads overstate the negative. And so it pushes them, you know, the candidates seem much more ridiculous than they really are. Of course, the flip side is that if you take the positive ads, they're way overselling the positive aspects. And so the answer lies somewhere in between. What the real question that we as political scientists don't have a really good handle on yet is, do ads, let's say a lot of negative ads, affect a candidate's, whoever wins that race, ability to govern after the election?
Mm-hmm.
A few people have looked at that, and the answer seems to be basically a favorable one, but we haven't studied it as effectively as we should.
Favorable meaning, what do you mean by favorable?
Well, that it looks like that basically the content of ads are kind of a precursor to the agenda that the candidates are going to pursue once they're in office. Mm-hmm. And so that these ads are just not solely strategy, solely unimportant, that the candidates do pay attention. Because remember, let's say that Barack Obama wins or John McCain wins, not only do they want to govern effectively, but they're already going to be thinking about 2012, and they know full well that if they don't fulfill the promises that they made in 08, that it's going to come back to haunt them. Whoever runs against them will certainly raise them. And so there's that kind of incentive to try to make these claims and these promises come to light. But oftentimes these ads will push candidates in directions that they don't necessarily anticipate because they've got to respond to attacks and criticisms. But it's a conversation. I mean, again, one of the things about attack ads is that, let's say that Barack Obama's attacked, and even if it's an unfair attack and it's inaccurate, all like that, if Barack Obama can't respond effectively to an attack, how is he going to govern as president? Because as President Bush could tell you right now, every day he comes under attack. It's part of being president. And
right.
So you've got to be prepared and be able to deal with that. Even if the attacks are unfair, you've got to, just being able to respond effectively is an important skill and something the public needs to know.
All right. Thanks for your call, Steve.
Thanks.
But if the drumbeat becomes so negative, isn't that harmful? I mean, if the attack, if that's all people are seeing.
Well, I mean, it depends. It's a hard question to answer for sure. But we know, for example, 2004 was the most negative campaign probably since 1948 and certainly in the era of television. Yet that very negative campaign saw a huge jump in turnout from 2000 to 2004. And the public needs to know about the bad sides of these candidates. I mean, when you're asking, you know, when you're going to go buy a car, you want to know both the good and the bad. Well, candidates are very good at telling you why they're qualified, but they're not going to tell you why they're not qualified. That comes from the opposition. So we need to know about this negative side. We need to know the problems that they face. What's wrong with their views on policy? Why might they not be good leaders? It may not be fun, but it's necessary. And people, you know, again, people worry, oh, we've had a lot of attacks. It's too many. But, you know, go back in American history and Thomas Jefferson was attacked as being the Antichrist in 1800. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we're not at that level yet, right?
Right.
And the country was barely 10 years old under the U.S. Constitution, at least, and we weathered those storms. So I'm very confident that we'll weather any of the storms that come in this campaign.
John Geer is the author of In Defense of Negativity, Attack Advertising and Presidential Campaigns, and you are listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. We're going to take a call now. We're going to go to Reed, and Reed is calling from Clintonville, Wisconsin. Hi, Reed.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Okay. The sound suddenly diminished a bit. I would just like to speak particularly to John McCain's most recent ad, but I have found this to be a characteristic of other negative ads. His is just perhaps the finest example that I've ever heard. And when I speak of a herd, I mean that the particular chant in the background of the ad, of the Obama, 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 sort of smacks of chants that we have heard when we've seen images of dictators in a variety of foreign countries. And I think that is a very subliminal message to voters that perhaps, you know, John McCain's view of Mr. Obama. It's extremely negative and trying to drive that home to potential voters.
By using those, yeah, you're right. Now, I hadn't really thought about that, but in both those ads do, in fact, use that chant and clearly thinking that it's going to have a negative effect.
Yeah, it's extremely disquieting and unnerving and really almost oppressive.
All right. Thanks very much for that.
Sure.
For that insight.
For the
interesting.
Opportunity to call and voice it.
All right. John Geer, what do you think of that? I think that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that myself.
I hadn't thought about it either. I agree. It's interesting. And, you know, some of these ads are like Rorschach tests. I mean, you know, you put up the ink blot and people have different kinds of reactions. And that is certainly a credible kind of reaction. I mean, how much of the public would pick that up isn't at all clear, but it may be one of the messages. And then if, let's say, that is one of the goals, which I'm not so sure about that, but that's okay. The question becomes, how does Barack Obama respond to it? I mean, Barack Obama does need to show that he has real substance, that he's got real, you know, heft in a lot of different ways. He's obviously a skilled candidate. He has lots of talents. But over the course of the campaign, that's going to be the big thing. And what I suspect is right now going on is the McCain campaign's putting all their money on having Barack Obama, someone's inexperienced, not substantive enough. The risk of that is that if during the course of the campaign, Obama shows himself to be pretty tough, pretty substantive, and does well, for instance, in the debates and his acceptance speech, et cetera, it's going to really pose problems for the McCain campaign. And it reminds me in some ways of the 80 campaign where Carter talked about what a risk Reagan was. And then Reagan, over the course of the campaign, didn't look like such a risk, and he beat Jimmy Carter pretty handily.
Interesting. Let's go to Julia now. She's calling from Overland Park, Kansas. Hi, Julia.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead, Julia.
Yeah, I was calling with a comment about the Obama ad that used a portion of the McCain attack ad.
Yes.
For me, that ad is effective on Obama's part because in recent years, an ad like that would have started off with the tidbit from McCain, and then Obama would have fired back, or whoever the opponent was would have fired back. And as opposed to that, Obama's campaign ad just went to talking about Obama as opposed to firing back, you know, in what I see to be a childish way. So for me, that was effective.
So you didn't think it was a negative ad. You thought it was positive, you're saying?
I thought it was positive on Obama's part, and for lack of a better way to say this, it kind of made him look like the bigger person.
Okay. Thanks very much for calling, Julia.
Thank you.
Professor Geer, what do you think of that?
Well, Julia raises a good general comment about what constitutes negativity, because this is a concept that's actually people don't necessarily agree with. And they use the term very self-servingly. I remember in 2004, Mary Matlin was talking about one of the ads that George Bush was running, and somebody said it was negative. And she said, oh, no, it's not a negative ad. It's a tell you the truth ad, which I actually thought was a great line and very smart, but exactly to the point that they didn't want to call that negative. They wanted to say, look, we're setting the record straight. That's all this is. And so that the public thinks of negative as personal attacks, and that anything that's issue-based isn't really a negative ad, even though in point of fact, members of the academic community and members of the journalistic community certainly think of that as negative. And we have this kind of miscommunication on. And one of the ironies is that the negativity in the presidential campaigns have increased over the last 40 years, but it's all on issues. Personal traits have not been a source of greater attack over the last 40 years. It's basically flat, which is a fact that people just never think is possible. But it turns out that most of the attacks at the presidential level are about issues. It turns not to be very personal. If it is, it's a blip and it goes back down the next election.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, no problem. It's been fun.
John Geer is a professor of political science at Vanderbilt University. He's also the author of In Defense of Negativity, Attack Advertising in Presidential Campaigns. And he joined us from the studios at Vanderbilt University in Nashville, Tennessee. Tomorrow, Ira Flatow will be here with Science Friday, and Neil Conan is back on Monday. I'm Lynn Neary. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.